CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning. What's happening, bitches? What's going down? Who's going down? I mean, it is early in the morning. You never know, huh?
To each his own.
Yes, well, some people are on their own, yes, absolutely. Doing their thing too. Other people are doing things with other people. It's great. You know, ENCA is really shit, huh? It's very, very shit.
It's the best of the worst.
They got shit journalists. They got terrible presenters. They have awful stories. It's so shit. But it's our only live news channel in South Africa, and I suppose that's why they've survived. I mean, ANN7 didn't make it because the Guptas were, you know, behind that.
Africa Worldwide, Africa Buzz, Africa. Yeah.
What was that? That was Jimmy Money when he took it over, and that lasted all of what, 3 months? So it proves he. This is what's so embarrassing. Like, he used to be the head of the Black Management Forum, and he clearly can't manage anything, which is no reflection on other black people, but it's bad that he was the boss of the BMF. You know? Bothers me. Like, because I know plenty of competent black managers, and I know people who've been put in their positions by other black people who are black directors and business owners, and they've done a really good job. Jimmy Money is like he's the opposite of excellence. No, he really is. I mean, he's confounded everybody's worst expectations of him by being even more useless than he was expected to be, which is quite something. I mean, in some ways, that deserves a participation badge. So the reason I bring up ENCA, I hate starting the show talking about another media business, but they're talking about our government is so wrapped up in toilets at the moment. You know, you think we're lavatorial on the show, and we often talk about toilets, and we've got our own toilet problems here at the studio, but most of the time it's hilarious. The government are so involved in toilets at the moment because there was a situation, obviously, a hideous situation where this happens every year.
The key word there is another.
Has fallen into a pit latrine at school and drowned and died, which is a hideous, hideous situation. And I can only express huge sympathy to the family, to this poor child. I mean, you imagine you're going to do what everybody does and you end up falling into a pit latrine and drowning in sewerage. It's just the most horrible, undignified, terrible way to die. And now our government has launched this massive program and Cyril's on the TV talking about toilets and shitting. And it's just incredible, like, how... You know, really, I mean, Chinese President Xi Jinping is busy, you know, addressing artificial intelligence and the way that Chinese people will still have jobs when automation occurs because they'll be programming and they'll be coding and they'll be doing interesting things. And what are we doing? We're still trying to solve the pit latrine problem. It just does feel like...
It's hugely embarrassing because you see the headline that they're making sweeping statement by 2030.
Here's the thing. Fine, then we've got to solve it, right? So that's obviously a thing. But here's our president. Compared with every other president in the world, we're dealing with pit latrines. And he says they'll solve it by 2030. That's the really embarrassing thing. It's going to take them another... How many years is till 2030? 12 more fucking years just to stop people from dying in toilets? Don't set yourselves too many high standards, ANC. I'd hate for you to actually end up having to live up to one of them. 2030? Are you telling me that between now and then, we can't solve the pit toilet problem? Because then we really have... what if nuclear war breaks out? Do you think this government's going to be able to help anyone?
Or have any sort of plan?
You think if Lesotho invades us, we're going to be able to sort out anything? You think if someone dropped some real nutcase terrorist dropped some kind of dangerous germ into our drinking water, which is totally possible because it's exposed everywhere. You don't think millions would die before the government would realize they had to do something?
Well, that's already happening because these pit latrines are going into our rivers.
Well, listen, this is a very, very sad indictment on people's inability to deliver a damn thing. You know those service delivery protests that go on every day in some part of South Africa because of rural community that has not had services for the last 22 years? You know those?
Mm-hmm.
Those people are right that this government can't do anything for them. Useless. Useless. Yeah. Can you imagine?
This whole thing. So Cyril stands up there with this grandiose plan of the fact that we can actually solve shitting by 2030. His mate, Didi Mabuza, took all the money for the toilets in order to become so politically powerful. And only the New York Times has the balls to write about this anyway.
Yeah, because all our local media is so cowed.
Exactly. So this guy came out of nowhere from being like, I don't know, minister of knowing what a book looks like. Ooh. And suddenly he's the guy who's like power wrangling Cyril into power.
Well, he's from Mpumalanga. This is the guy who... Mpumalanga is like the seat of so much political assassination. And this isn't even gossip. Or necessarily negative news. This is just stuff that's been happening. You know, if you're in politics in Mpumalanga, you have a chance of being killed. That doesn't happen in other provinces.
Okay, it's amazing. We'll give them rent for the money.
First two things, really important things. I am in a fantastic mood today, and I don't know why.
I was going to say, it's such a, like, it was the early morning downer. I just got in and have listened to the pit latrine death story, government story, the nuclear war, the poisoned water, and then guys, I'm in the best mood.
Because none of that stuff really matters. In the world... Like, you can't do anything about that, right? Government is
not as an individual.
No, you can't. So I don't know why. I woke up this morning with a little spring in my step, and I had a shower and I shaved and I thought I don't look like shit this morning.
Yeah, because you always look so awful, GC.
I do. You clipped on your Lego hair. I did, and I felt. And then Nola's just made me the most fantastic cup of coffee. Oh God, it makes me happy. Little things. Nola, you're a sweetheart. What a ray of sunshine you are in my morning. You really are. And lots of emails yesterday from people who are expressing thank you. Who are expressing. All kinds of sympathy and trying to help out with Nola, and her brother got stabbed over the weekend.
Shit.
Yeah, it was shitty. Really shitty. And I forgot that today was Wednesday because I only got back on Monday, so I missed the show.
Your trip looked sick.
Dude, we've got to talk about Barcelona, and me.
I saw you liked it. You said it was your favorite city.
I liked it.
Did you go to Gothico? So
I did. I took your advice.
Gothico.
Nola,
best.
You want to say something?
Yes, please. So I'm catching up with the emails that I received yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm only seeing them now. And I'm happy to say that the guy who asked to remain anonymous yesterday did deposit the money. I got the notification in my email.
Are you going to go down and see your brother?
The idea was to, but then I realized that it would be enough for a flight to Cape Town. So I thought, let me transport him to East London rather when he gets discharged. Seeing that there are other people interested, I'm going to wait to see. And maybe I will go down after all.
Well, isn't it nice that there are good people in the world who are prepared to help out a complete stranger?
Right.
I'm so overwhelmed.
I mean, you only started working here 3 weeks ago. Really, in truth, I should get that money.
Oh.
He's been here a lot longer. And maybe Ben. Maybe Ben, you know?
Especially me. I didn't take a break. Sia took a break.
I just flipped the script.
All right. Well, you know, this is a funny place. The funny things happen. So, Gordo, I have to say to you that you have an ex or a current girlfriend or whatever the story
is. Yeah, an ex, I guess.
I don't know. You guys have got some weird long-distance thing going on.
Yeah, we it's a long story.
So how did she choose Barcelona? Because I feel like I've been deprived of the knowledge
of
this place.
She's always wanted to go there. She's quite well-traveled. Her family are well-off. Not squillionaires, but well off. And her parents believe that travel is a part of a person's education. So
it's helpful to have money when you think that.
Well, absolutely.
If you believe that,
I also think if you've got, you know? I mean, again, they're not bazillionaires, but I think if you've got a bit of money, letting your kid study neuroscience and become a doctor is cool to pay for that. It's like if you're going to spend money on your kids, sending them to lots of European countries throughout their life is a pretty good way to do it rather than buying them ponies and Ferraris.
Not that
they're in Ferrari money, but that's neither here nor there. The point is she's very well traveled and has gone to a lot of countries. And since a little girl, her passion's always been dancing, and since a little girl, she's always wanted to finish her doctorate and then go dance in Spain. and she's been back many times.
She's not a dancer like a stripper dance.
No, sadly, but she has got moves. Ooh. But she does a whole lot of different styles of Latin dancing. Anyway, so that was the thing. She wanted to finish her doctorate, which took her like just a little over a decade, because you can do it in 8 years or you can do it in 12. Finish her doctorate and then go live in Spain and dance, and that's what she's doing.
Well, I am so blown away by this place. I feel I've discovered some new universe in Barcelona. I didn't have any expectations of the place at all, and I'm not going to wax lyrical like I did yesterday about it. But what a sophisticated, decent, evolved human settlement that place is.
Yeah.
Huh?
I find the people there strange, though.
It's got these beautiful gardens.
Gothica is amazing, and the cathedral. The
architecture is so spectacular.
And all of the Gaudi buildings and the...
There's art everywhere. Every open space, there's a statue or a sculpture or a painting. They do a statue.
Whether it's in Madrid. Because Madrid, for me, was like the big... You know, bustling, super large, hectic. It's like they've got their seaside town and they've got their major metropolis.
Yeah.
And both have got a lot in common, but also both are very different. So, like...
It's almost like the Cape Town.
I didn't want to use that analogy because there's
I knew you were going there.
But it is kind of
short circuit the shit. That's what you're gonna say.
I was gonna they obviously have nothing in common with Joburg or Cape Town. It's in that sense of scale. The one is that much smaller than the other, the one is that much more chilled and seasidey than the other, and the other one is like very to compare Madrid to Joburg is a monstrous insult to Madrid. But Madrid is big and impressive and towering. And these statues that look over you and look like they could come to life and just squash civilization.
Well, there's this huge monument to Columbus in Barcelona, which I knew nothing. I feel like such an ignoramus, because I've always said to people, the one thing I really don't like about anybody is if they are willfully ignorant. And I feel like there's all this information on the internet these days. You'd be dumb.
Information's in books. The internet's a load of bullshit.
No, but you can get books, or the internet's got some very reliable.
I know the internet's very handy for society.
For travel, you could say, I've got one day in Barcelona, what should I see? And the internet will pour out so many results, and all of them will be good. And I had zero knowledge. I could point to where Barcelona was roughly on a map. That's it. Knew nothing. I knew there was a football club there.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, it's a hell of a stadium as well.
Gee, it was. We drove past it because I did one of those little kind of on-off tours just to
there's two. There's like
orientate myself.
There's like a historical one, and then there's like a I can't remember what the other one is, but they're very cool.
Beautiful. Yeah. Man, what a place. Anyway. So, I'm back and things are going swimmingly in South Africa. We're going to sort out pit toilets by 2030.
Yeah.
Which is great news.
12 years, we should be all right.
This is such an exciting 12 years. That's all it's going
to
take.
That's what we're going to look forward to.
All it is.
When you vote, just everybody, I want to get absolutely, you must clear this in your head now. 2019, election year. These are the things you can choose from. You can choose from the ANC, who promise to stop having people die in their own shit by 2030.
So this vote's not for the toilets, your next two votes.
Yeah, because you've got two whole elections to get ready for that big delivery. Mm. Then you could go with the DA, who don't know whether they are for BEE or against it, but certainly don't have any idea of which way to turn or any policy of how to get us there. Nothing. Zero ideas. And then you got the EFF, who are going to make sure that the state takes everything and then hands it out to everyone.
Because that always works.
Yeah. And we can trust them to do so.
You've got three parties here, everybody, who are going to do absolutely nothing for you. It is well overdue for South Africa to get a party that actually can deliver. And not deliver on social issues or comment on the news or get involved in, Oscar Pistorius's trial. Because that, of course, does nothing for anybody. Or interfere in sport. Let the Proteas keep doing what they do. Let the Springboks do what they do. Let Bafana do what they do. Nobody really cares anyway because they're not winning anywhere. But the government are hugely involved in everything. Where they should be involved is only three things. They should make sure that the borders are secure in terms of, if we do get like a sudden and surprising invasion from Mozambique, that we can handle ourselves. Like, we can keep maintaining.
You laugh, but we wouldn't be able to.
No, we wouldn't.
Current situation.
I mean, it's so ridiculous because I thought about this the other day too. Everybody's talking about land, right? But what is South Africa if it's not just the the European powers carving up Africa and randomly deciding which country goes where. Oh, South Africa is not a thing. That's why the king of the Zulus, when he says, maybe it's time for us to secede, I'm like, well, why not? Because it's totally artificial anyway. There are people in southern Zimbabwe who speak Ndebele, right? Mm-hmm. There are people in northern Limpopo who speak Ndebele. There's no reason that those people should be separated by this artificial border called the Limpopo, because they used to get across it in times gone by anyway.
Well, they got that in Spain with the Catalans
right.
And the
Right, that's
the
what I'm getting at. So we've got this country that's a made-up thing. It's totally made up. There's no reason that we should... I mean, look at Tswana people in Botswana and in the Northwest.
There was a situation...
There's no reason they have to be separated. The culturally and ethnically, the people are actually... more similar across the Northwest and Botswana border than they are in, you know, the Swazi and KwaZulu-Natal border.
And borders aren't even a real thing. It's just like there's a gate and there's like a little place with a garage where you can get a snack and you go and get your shit stamped. And then if you just go like for a few hundred meters in either direction, then there's just nothing.
There's nothing. Wilderness. This is exactly the point. So actually, let's just scrap that. We don't even need them for that. All right, because so what?
But then someone comes in and took your gerbs.
They took your gerbs. That's from South Park. They took our jobs.
Yeah. And it's Jim Jefferies goes, you know, like, there's this line of Australians outside my house demanding the right to mow my lawn. They're hardly queuing for it.
Okay, so then they're no use to us there. Delivery of, let's say, water, electricity.
Okay, so you're saying borders is the first thing. There's
no,
three.
I've scrapped that one already because we've just talked about how borders are stupid. So,
emergency services.
Listen, I don't have all the answers, everybody. I'm thinking it through with you. So we're brainstorming.
Pit toilets being not a thing must be at least on there.
Pit toilets got to be there, right?
Well, basic education, I think, I mean, who's going to look after that? Because they're not currently doing it. So maybe they should do that.
Well,
because that'd be the emergency service ultimately.
Maybe, huh? Maybe
you can,
that's
you can run them with police and fire.
But you
and
see, again, like I really think our police force is in any case useless. I mean that with all the love in the world.
We do get some good ones.
There are some good ones. It's impossible in the bureaucracy, and there is no boss in the police that I can identify. I know they've appointed a new police commissioner, but I haven't seen very much change in the police. You ask the average policeman, like, how does it work? Go to a police station. You'll see what I mean. So I'm actually more on the side of, like, let's get the private security companies, because they're more private security guards than policemen in South Africa. You know that, right?
Yeah.
And...
which, again, is an indictment of the government.
Well, it's a scary situation, because actually, if, you know, coin security could technically take over the country tomorrow if they wanted to, because they probably fitter and more well-armed and more well-run as a company.
You know,
like, they have shifts and, you know, they have to sign in and sign out, and there's like a procedure. It's better discipline than our military at the moment.
Yeah, they've got to stay awake as well.
So
actually got to be awake.
So private security is probably already bigger than anything that the police or the military can provide. So let's scrap that one too. I mean, like, really, what do we need them for? I'm really struggling with this. I would love
things
someone...
things like electricity and water working and, like, you know,
that can
electricity
be privatized
and,
tomorrow.
Sure.
It that would be way,
way
better,
if
better
you privatized
yeah.
it.
See, any ideas?
It's all just... it's all ego, really. The mere fact that government is still running and still standing by, we're the greatest and this is the party.
Yeah, what do we need? I mean,
nothing.
I saw them coming past me in a blue light brigade yesterday morning. I was like, where do you think that dickhead's going? Like, where could they be going? Because everybody's in traffic, right? They're like, Gord has stuff to do, Sia has stuff to do, Nolo has shit to do, Ben has. Everybody has stuff to do.
That oak's got the sovereign political right under the power of the state to not be late when he's running late.
Yeah, and he's probably running late because he woke up
just
late.
Just fucked about.
So now everybody else must get out of his way. And I'm thinking, well, I don't know that he's going to do anything important. Like, I saw one of our ministers... overseas. I thought, I wonder what you're doing here, douchebag. I wonder what useless waste of state funds your trip, and it's going to cost a lot because I'm sure you're staying in a 5-star hotel. I'm sure you've got an entourage.
On euros. 5-star hotel on euros is not a jewel if you're paying for it yourself.
Maybe you got like 10 people with you, and you probably You know, you've got a budget for meals and for, you probably go shopping for your wife or she's probably with you. Who knows? And maybe your girlfriend's with you, not even your wife. Even you know, your side chick.
Yeah.
And then you're going
to... Side chick.
You're going to go to some conference and you're going to sit there and you're going to pretend to listen while you're on your phone busy messaging a side chick saying... Get your pussy ready, baby. And then
is that what you message side chicks?
Well, I don't know. And then you're gonna you better make sure you're shaved, honey. Then
sexy.
You did wake up in a good mood.
I'm in a fantastic mood.
Okay, so the ambassador's doing this?
And then this is a minister. Forget the ambassadors. Those people fuck around all the time. Then you go to this conference, you sit and you pretend to listen to the other people, and you're really not, because you've got some other lackey taking notes, and then when you get back, you'll hand it over so it looks like you did something, right? Yeah. Then you can just make a speech, but really someone else has written the speech for you, so you can get up there and you read it badly, because I don't think, apart from, let me think of which minister I thought was, some of them deliver slightly better than others, like Aaron Motsoaledi. Is not a bad speaker. Jeff Radebe is middle of the road. The rest are really kind of cuck. Anyway, so you'll speak maybe for 5-10 minutes, and you'll say South Africa alive with possibility. Invest with us, blah blah blah, and everyone's going to go. But they're not going to send money here because you're going to expropriate whatever. Money and property, and you're going to force them to go into a BEE deal at 51%, which why should they pay for that when they can go to Venezuela? scrap Venezuela.
Yeah, just like Namibia, Zimbabwe.
Yeah, let's say Angola, Burundi, where you don't have to worry about that. Anyway, so this guy will then get back on the plane first class and fly back, and everyone will say, well, you know, thanks for representing South Africa, and you've done a great job, but all we've really done is paid for a very fancy holiday and for him to grandstand. That's really it.
Did it really make a difference?
No, probably not. Well, I mean Maitin Kwana Mashabane was our Minister of International Relations for 5 years, I think. I don't think we did anything significant. It certainly didn't increase trade. We didn't have better relations with the current trading partners we have. We made friends with really dangerous nations. I don't know what.
I want to play dickhead's advocate and just say never really know. And there's a possibility maybe they went and made mates with someone from some country and they struck up an idea for a deal.
Maybe.
And something comes out of it.
Don't you think they would try. Don't you think they would tell us if they'd done something really positive?
Yeah, they would grandstand on a grandstand.
I'm telling you, they'd back here and they'd like, before the plane had even landed, there'd be a text message saying, we just got a deal from. You know, like the Saudis the other day, or the Chinese who lent
But it's like speed dating. It's like speed dating between countries, and you send your sexiest bastard. Like, this is our sexiest, most eligible political bachelor, and we're going to speed date with every other country.
Right.
But what I think is also dangerous is the fact that a lot of people in power don't really realize, I think in their heads, that they're doing a bad job. They think they're doing an amazing thing.
They must know
thing.
They're doing
they're
a
they're
shit job.
They're in silos with each other.
Here's the example that I'm thinking of. Last week, and we spoke about it early on Monday's show, I went to Jack Ma's launch of his program here in Africa. He's giving $10 million to...
Was he there?
Yes, Jack Ma was there.
You saw him?
46.6 billion US dollars in the room.
Alibaba. That's incredible, Sia. Look at the kind of people you're mixing with while I'm away.
A multi-billionaire, just casually so. And, you know, he was there and he was talking about the importance of just investing in young entrepreneurs. And our Minister of Science and Technology stood up throughout the afternoon and she made the speech, which just... It's a woman. Her name slips my head. And she... with like full heart and vigor, stands with pride saying that over the past couple of years, the Department of Science and Technology has devoted 200 million rands to an ambassador program for ambassadors who we do not know to go out into communities and work to boosting the importance of science and technology in South Africa.
I wonder how many of that minister's children are on that ambassador
list. Who are these people? And how do you devote 200 million rands to that?
Jack Ma must think he's just like gone back in a time machine.
Right?
Yeah.
Or it's 200 million rand. Yeah, he's like, carry the two.
Yeah. He's like, oh, that's so little.
That's like, yeah, and that's, yeah, that's like $400,000.
When she sat with the group of people I was with, I was like, did she say two? Did she say 20 million? 200 million rand.
200 million. But
over
like,
the past couple of
years. Is this to empower teachers to be better science teachers? Or was it just guys to go in there and say, hi, I like science?
Yeah, it's like.
Goodbye, Ingubang. That's for sure.
Okay, yeah.
Hi, I like science.
She was Minister of Communications before.
I hate commenting on politics, but this is a deep one for me, you know. When we talk about delivery and we talk about all these things and how these politicians seem to hype each other up as though they really are doing something, whereas they're not. Look, I grew up in the township.
Mm-hmm.
And by township, I don't mean RDP houses. At the time that we got there, it was still, you know,
like
shacks. So they only...
Careful, you're going to get emails from people just now saying that you're mean about East London.
No, yeah. No, this is Cape Town.
Go on, I'm listening.
Cape Town.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Cape Town.
All right.
And they only started, you know, initiating an RDP initiative, I don't know, 5 years later. I was still in primary school, and by the time I got to high school, they still hadn't built anything, and it was, yeah, electricity was a problem, and yeah.
Do you know that ISIS could supply electricity to Mosul? I found that out the other day.
Huh?
ISIS, you know ISIS, the terrorist group? They managed to supply reliable electricity. Look, you couldn't plug 17 air conditioners in, but you could have light and... You could have hot water in parts of, you know, well, let's say most of Mosul while ISIS was there. I learned this from the New York Times. I read an article there the other day. While ISIS was in charge of Mosul, they managed to supply electricity and we have load shedding. That's outrageous, right? I mean, you talk about electricity. 5 years to build RDP houses? Yes, sus.
And they're still in bad condition, you know?
Of course they are.
Looking back over 10 years... Yeah, it's still terrible.
It's outrageous. All right, well, we've got to get into the five things. And man, do we have five things for you today. Are you excited?
I'm very excited about all five.
Good, good. Because
I'm quintuply excited.
Well, this is fantastic then. Because this is going to be right up your street. Okay, first and foremost, guess what? I mean, we said Aretha Franklin's having a hard time at the moment. She's on her deathbed. People are saying, oh, you know, prayers for Aretha. Guess who's pitched up to get some of the limelight? Who is the king of all blacks in America?
Jesse Jackson.
There we go.
I was going to say, Meghan Merkel's dad.
Remember, he pitched up here for Winnie's funeral. I mean, what the hell does this guy do for a living? Is he really, like, if he's not there?
He's an ambassador for science and technology. He's also there to do
that. Let me ask you this. Is, if Jesse Jackson doesn't pitch, is it still a black event?
No.
No.
Tier two.
Is there something I don't know?
Yeah, it's like, without the Pope, is it still a Catholic big deal?
Right.
Yeah.
He's like the Pope of American black people. And he sometimes even tries to be our black guy. You know, like, come here for Winnie's funeral. He was here for Nelson Mandela's funeral. The guy sounds like he's got a mouthful of buffalo balls when he talks. He looks like a ball sack. And he pitches up at every damned event that they'll... I don't know who invites him or whether he forces his way into it or... So
him and Al Sharpton.
Yeah, well, the two of them. Yeah. But Al Sharpton's kind of fallen off the radar because for a while he was on Fox News or MSNBC.
He was hanging out by Aretha's side.
Yeah, so poor Aretha. This woman's... She's dying. And then she has to get a visit from this guy, this Jesse Jackson, who's... I've never seen anyone try to pull the limelight towards him in the moment of tragedy more than this. He is a professional... tragedy operative.
Yeah.
He spends
a limelight usurper.
Yeah. I mean, Jesse Jackson, if you're listening, I don't think he'll listen to this, but someone pass it on to him.
You are discussing matters of American blackness, so long enough and his radar will pick it up.
Are you a black man? No, you're not. Who's talking about me? Jesse Jackson. You're a despicable human being to just pitch up at funerals and dead dying people's bedsides and just stay out of here. Nobody wanted you. Nobody asked for you, Jesse. I can't believe that. A British actress is now able to sue Weinstein for sex trafficking.
What?
Yes, a U.S. district judge in Manhattan.
That's next level dickheadery.
Well, you remember Weinstein...
Is he going for the world record?
Weinstein went to court to try and have the lawsuit dismissed. And movie producer Harvey Weinstein must now face a U.S. lawsuit by a British actress who accused him of violating sex trafficking laws by inviting her to a hotel room in France and sexually assaulting her. Ooh. A federal judge ruled on Tuesday. Well, isn't that what the Cannes Film Festival is all about?
Yeah, dude.
Yes, Nola? What's
I've
up?
I've got Rich on line 3.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, better take Rich. Is he on Skype or on the phone?
On the
phone. Never figure it out. All right, we got so many inputs over here. Let's go to Rich. Hey, Rich, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Yeah, good.
Cool, man. I'm busy still lying in bed, so my voice is a bit...
Thanks for rubbing it in. We're all busy. We're all working. You're lying in bed with your phone in the one hand and your dick in the other. You go on.
There we go.
What's up?
There we go. So I don't know if you picked this up while you were away, but I'm just touching on the comments that you made yesterday about you were sort of touching on differences between men and women. Not differences between men and women, but difference in, you know, preference and interest.
Toxic masculinity versus strong masculinity. Yeah, go on.
Well, while you were away, there was an article by the CEO of South African Institute for Civil Engineering.
Yeah.
I think what it's called. It's since been removed, but he was sort of questioning why so much money was being invested in getting women interested in the STEM subjects, so science, technology, and science, engineering, and
engineering, maths. Yeah.
And he was really vilified for it, and he was really almost lost his job, and he was really almost he was taken down as well by the Minister for Science and Technology,
sure,
saying that it was inappropriate for him to be saying these kinds of things during Women's Month, and that they were derogatory towards women, and that the interests, and she was quoting incorrect facts.
Of course she was. This goes back to... I hate to sound like a broken record about this, but Jordan Peterson outlined some very, very unhappy, inconvenient truths for politically correct people who believe that everything's about equity by highlighting what goes on in Scandinavia, for example. It's the most free and equal society in the world, right? So Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, take your pick. What those countries do is they actually... they encourage complete equity. In other words, they want women and men to have a 50-50 share in the economy and every part of the economy, and they try to make it so by, you know, creating particular avenues and social systems that increase the number of women in this area, and where there are too few men in this area, they try to put more men in. It overwhelmingly does not work. What it does is it creates more disparity. So what you have is less women doing the STEM subjects, and you have less men going into healthcare and people stuff, because men are by our nature more interested in things than we are in people, and women are by their nature more interested in people than they are in things. And I can't articulate the situation quite as well as he does, but I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find a much more cogent argument, which will quote the sources that I don't have at hand, which will explain to you precisely why our Minister of Science and Technology is wrong on this matter. Mm. And the guy from the, what is he, the head of the Civil Engineering Institute? What
he's a PhD, he's a smart guy.
Sure, I mean, you don't get to that position by being a douchebag or a dumbass. You didn't win a popularity contest like a politician does.
Or get given the job by someone who once won a popularity contest.
Yes, correct. So I don't know about Minister Kubayi. I don't know if she could answer a 10-question science quiz and get more than 50%, but I'm guessing probably not. And this guy probably could. And when you're talking about science, it's kind of important that you know what you're talking about.
And that scientists get to say those things.
Anyway, let's see what she says next, because I'm sure it'll be riveting. But thanks, dude. I hear you. All right. Are you an engineer or a scientist or something?
No, not at all. Just a read.
Wow. I mean, very few people read what the Institute of Civil Engineering does, so I'm impressed. Thanks, man. Bye.
Yes.
All right, so this this woman's going to be able to sue Harvey Weinstein, and she'll be able to criminally charge him.
So he was on a sketchy mission to bone her and wanted to move her from one country to another.
He basically flew her over.
Again, I'll never defend a single thing Harvey Weinstein's done. I'm just trying to clarify. It's almost a sex trafficking technicality. Mm. It's like, I want to take one of these women that I'm taking advantage of on a sex holiday. Not like bringing in a truckload of Eastern European teenagers to bone them in secret. Okay, that's a kind of levels of sex trafficking.
But technically, you could call it sex trafficking.
Sure, I get that. And
I think, again, we've got to be careful not to blur the lines here, because there are real problems in the world regarding sex trafficking, where you do have busloads, truckloads.
Yeah, passports taken away. Yeah, impossible debt to work off.
Right.
And the modeling industry.
Forced drug addiction.
Yeah. And then you got saying to some woman, because you're a sleazy movie producer, come to the south of France, and we'll do something. We'll get your career going. You just might have to sit on me for a while. So, that's obviously disgusting, but it's not the same as a sex trafficking in the sense that we know, and in the sense that we know is dangerous. You're an actress. You can always say no, blah, blah, blah. It's not the same. Please don't blur these things, because it has the effect of making the serious things seem trivial and the trivial things seem serious. We've been down this road. Mm-hmm. A really, really serious thing. Because we talk about, conspiracy theories, and Ben has this idea that Hollywood's elite is a whole ring of pedophiles, but there are a ring of pedophiles in the world. There's a huge network of them. They are operating in the open, and they're called the Catholic Church.
Oh, well, obviously, yeah.
And the state of Pennsylvania, has just released a report detailing decades of sexual abuse by priests. Listen to this, 884 pages. Of investigative reporting that contained graphic examples of children being groomed and sexually abused by clergymen. Just guess at the numbers here. 300 Catholic priests and
this is one state?
Thousands of children.
It makes me so angry, dude.
It is absolutely the most horrible thing you can do. I mean, to do this to children.
And I've gone through this phase of like trying to be less angry and less pontificating and less inclined to try and make people believe what I strongly believe. So like, I feel like you're as much of a dick as an evangelical religious person trying to make people believe what you believe and trying to make laws based on what you believe. If you're like an agnostic or an atheist or an anti-organized religious person that tries to force religious people to stop being idiots. Mm-hmm. But more and more, I see people who believe in organized religion and theological religion, the books, as fucking flat earthers. I can't take you seriously. If you believe that shit, you have to be in some way fucking mentally impaired. Yeah. And I try and keep it to myself, and I try not to be a dick about it. But I see, like, Facebook profiles, it's all live, love, laugh, in the Lord, can't spell. In Christ, all things are possible, in your Facebook frame image, which is blurred and has a filter of you looking like a fucking raccoon or whatever animal it is, bunny. I'm just like morons everywhere. It's fodder for morons. And I would normally be a little bit less inclined to have this rant if you hadn't have just told me that more fucking priests have been fucking more fucking children, and it's just okay because, hey, fuck religion.
Well, it's not okay.
Well, it's,
no, no, it's the scouts okay. wouldn't get away with it on this level.
No, and the scouts didn't. Yeah. But this is the point, right?
But this is why the reports is out there.
But religion, but the immense power of the church, so do what you want.
You know, Christopher Hitchens used to once say, you cannot believe the kinds of egregious comments and activities you can get away with if you can just get yourself called reverend. And that goes for any other priestly title. It's a joke. There is no such thing as a religious leader. They're all crooks.
And people get so proud. People get so proud of how people get so proud of how they stand
okay,
for it.
Okay, good. We've got to calm down, because Ben's got to do some sport at some point.
But you're made to believe it when you're five.
And listen, I'll tell you something. This is indisputably the most horrible, egregious thing human beings can do to other human beings is child abuse. And it seems to be it's a disease. It's an epidemic inside this Catholic Church. I don't know how they seem to, like, they just attract all these pedophiles into the ranks of the clergy, because these people are grooming. Apparently, priests have been raping little boys and girls for decades. Centuries. In Pennsylvania.
Well it's this thing of Pennsylvania specifically. Catholic priests aren't meant to have a partner. Exactly. They aren't meant to get married. How is that humanly
it's not good.
Normal?
But also, guys, think about it. Why must you risk your neck outside of a school when you can join an institution and they bring the kids to you? I mean, like, if you want to be a pedophile, you got to go pro. You got and the church provides that for you.
All right.
No, they're like the MLS. They're like the major league.
It is. Yeah. It's like the EPL.
They've professionalized pedophiles.
Yeah. Pedoing. Yeah. Pedoing.
Pedoing. All right. Bitcoin will cost you $6,339 and Ethereum at $286. Slight improvement from yesterday. Nothing to really write home about. Ben, what do you got for us?
Well, Ben Stokes is in the clear. He hasn't been guilty of a fray. The protest got embarrassed by spinning balls again. And Fernando Alonso says au revoir, or sayonara to the F1. So Ben Stokes, he's that fiery ginger who got hammered one night and sort of bashing a few guys' heads in. Well, he's been found not guilty of a fray, which is just a Ponzi way of saying assault, because let's call it what it is. He got into a bar fight with some guys and broke a guy's eye socket. Or did he? Or was it Alex Hales' foot? Either way, these two toss bags seem to be okay because they, like all privileged prickheads, they got nice lawyers who create a reasonable doubt and they're in the clear. So, what does this mean for Ben Stokes as a cricketer? Well, he's back in the test squad for the third test match against India. He missed the second one because of the whole court case. And I got to say, like, out of all of this, can we just please have, like, a moment of silence or a moment of appreciation for this poor wife / girlfriend of his who had to be paraded out into this stupid court case? Like, look, you can't behave yourself in public. Don't then bring your partner as, like, I'm in a relationship. I'm a respectable person. This poor woman. Firstly, every day, the extra amount of self-tan she had to put on herself because now she's in the cameras. Yeah. Poor woman. I mean, maybe she wanted like a PJ day. Nope, got to go to court. And what is she going to say?
I think that there
she's
are a lot
being
of
paraded.
But there are a lot of politicians and sports people who've got to stop using their wives as accessories when they're trying to show they're good people.
That's exactly what they're doing, Gareth. She's been paraded around and her face after it. Like, she's got people showing cameras in her face and her boyfriend's just a prick. And then it's just,
How has she been helpful to the verdict? Like, what was
but
the
that's just
angle?
It. She just has to be there to show that he does have, he's in a relationship.
She's honestly an accessory to this. she's called in because he's trying, he needs a character witness to the fact that he's not an idiot.
Yeah. And he's clear by the law, but now the ECB, or I don't know, throw another acronym that means authority in cricket in England, they're probably going to look to how they're going to ban him, because now that the law has taken its course, the actual cricket bannings and fines, all that kind of shit comes into play, because they said they need to wait until we get a verdict before we can make a judgment, because this is how the process works. So Ben Stokes might not be in the clear as a cricketer, but as a citizen, he's not going to go to jail. Yeah. The Proteas, they can't play spin. They can't play spin. It's just been going on forever. Batting coach Del Benkenstein, and we spoke about people, why the hell are they in a job? This dude, I mean, he was a school cricket coach. He played cricket with a very stern face throughout his career. Didn't redo a whole bunch. He represented the Proteas. Again, bugger all if you go to his cricket info stats. So he was tasked with becoming the batting coach late last year for the Proteas. Mm-hmm. And since then, they looked like they've been holding the bat the wrong end. They had no idea what's going on with spin. The test series was an absolute disaster. The ODI series, they got better pitches and they got foot to the ball. But even then, they got dicked in the last two. Yesterday in the T20, they were bowled out for 98. At one stage during the match, they were interviewing Benkenstein, this batting whiz. And he actually said, well, I really hope to bring the seamers back on. 7 wickets went to spin. These guys don't know how to play spin. And the batting coach on TV is saying, well, I really hope to bring the seamers back on.
Like, I hope they stop it already.
They have no technical kind of ability against the spinning ball. So what do? They try to blix on the hell out of it yesterday. So they're bollocks. They got bowled up for 98. And Dale Alistair fucking Kutsia of cricket, Bankenstein, says, well, they're showing lots of positivity. No, Dale, they've got no clue what to do, so they're just swinging the willow at it.
What do you do to fix a culture of never being able to do well at spin? I don't know. It's been going on forever, right?
Hire someone who knows what spin is?
No.
Should we import like 100 spin bowlers from the subcontinent?
Yeah, what
have
do we
them
do?
Just bowl it up and the protein batsmen for days and days and days.
Look, I'm pretty sure, even with our xenophobic history, we could at least maybe give a couple of Bangladeshi like kids get a chance to come play cricket here for 3 or 4 seasons. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe getting Dale, who is literally just chatting up housewives at Hilton College and knows bugger all about spin bowling. Maybe he isn't the guy we actually put in charge of the national team. Maybe. Call me crazy. Call me crazy, but maybe that's not the best plan. Disaster after disaster, and this dipshit will probably still go to the World Cup and say, well, you know, we've got to look for the positives. We're really trying to score runs quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And even JP Dumi, I mean, to his credit, he's been our best T20 player. He's been pretty good on this tour as well. And he does get a lot of flack. He's like the Elton Junji of cricket. He even had to go, well, you know, we're playing a brand of... When someone says they're playing a brand of something in sport, they are talking out of their ass. They've turned themselves upside down. Their face is no longer pointing the camera. It's all from the butthole. We're playing an exciting brand of cricket, and I'm really proud of what the guys are trying to do. Come on, guys. We're not stupid. You're not the ANC. You can't get away with this shit.
Upside down bats, Hilton housewives, and upside talking out of your rectum. It's been a good morning.
That's pretty much it. And even like the emerging protests, they also took an absolute trousering in Sri Lanka. Whitewashed. And this is like the next level. Also, play spin? No. No. Can't play spin. It's 2018. How do you not have staff that know how to play spin that can then impart knowledge on people who are then going to go play spin? Like, no one just said, okay, it's 2018. We're making a suggestion. We're going to have spin bowling this year. Oh, no, not spin bowling.
No.
It's been around every bloody day of cricket for so long and always will be. Moving along. Facebook, they've done a huge thing. They've got the rights for La Liga. Mm-hmm. So they're going to show La Liga to a whole bunch of countries that may not... It doesn't bother you, but... So basically what's happening, I know Mnet and all the other people are having a bit of a cry about how it's been decentralized for broadcasters. So what these tech companies are doing is that they're buying rights to really big sporting things, and they're showing them in certain areas. So Facebook's got the rights to show La Liga, which is obviously the Spanish league, the one that Ronaldo used to be in. So they can show in India, Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Bhutan, Nepal, the Maldives, Sri Lanka, and Pakistan. If you want to watch La Liga in any of those countries, you have to go onto Facebook. Right now, it's kind of free, so there won't even be dodgy ads. But this is the start of it, okay? So it's a 3-year deal. Previously, Sony Pictures Network had this, but this is what's happening. More and more stuff's going online. More and more stuff's moving away from the big networks. And we've seen it already. Amazon got into this in a huge way. Like, you only watch certain NFL games on Amazon. YouTube, of course, are trying to get part of the mix here as well. It's all going this way. And the big companies, even though Facebook says, this isn't going to threaten conventional broadcasters. Whatever. It is, and I'm sure they're all shaking like shitting dogs right now because they can't keep up. These guys have the cash. Plus, they're going to go into the whole esports thing. That's even more cash. And before you know it, these guys will be showing Serie C.
But the broadcasters are proper fucked because, like, their packages are unreasonable. They subsidize the expensive channels with the shitty ones that nobody wants. And it's really just infrastructure that's keeping them afloat, i.e. people have more access to satellite dishes and decoders than they do to, like, fiber or really good ADSL internet. As soon as everybody has that, and they will eventually, everybody will eventually have that. I mean, assuming we don't completely lose electric infrastructure, everyone will have that. What the Premier League will eventually do, they have to eventually do, is the same thing that Netflix has done and that Amazon Jewel has done, and that's they won't sell the rights to their broadcasting to Sky, who can then syndicate it to every other channel network in the world. They will have a Netflix thing where you pay them 150 Rand a month and you get everything Premier League related streaming directly, and they'll make more money and everybody that piggybacks off them will be
spot
fucked.
Spot on. So this is the thing. These guys are going to find ways of making more money by compartmentalizing their stuff. And it all comes back to packaging, guys. Whether you're selling Polony or you're selling the English Premier League, it's all packaging.
Yeah, wars are that day, because I can't wait to have the Premier League app. Wars are that day. I can't wait to have the Premier League app next to my Netflix app and just be like, sweet, I'm going to watch the Premier League. Fuck off DSTV, thanks.
Damn right, Gord. Damn right. Rather coarse language for the sport, but damn right.
Sorry, I was worked up earlier by the religious stuff. I'm calming down.
The Boks are playing this weekend against Argentina in the opening of the Rugby Championship, and looks like Evan Etzebeth will start. Now, he hasn't played since my birthday last year, which is 2nd December, by the way. But he had a horrible shoulder injury, and he hasn't played, but he's been rearing to go. Of course, Eben, he's up for this. He'll give 110%. But Rusty said, we've got to start him, because if we have him off the bench, even though his fitness isn't ready for 80 minutes, this guy's got about 50 or 60 minutes in tops. But he makes a good point, does this Rusty? Hey? He's a smart oak. He says, if we put someone else on the bench and they get injured in the first minute, then Eben's got to play a whole match, and then we could be proper fucked, as Gord says. Smart, huh? Look at Rusty could teach how to play spin bowling.
Okay.
That's got it all going on. Last night, Chiefs drew with Barocas, so they still haven't got a win in the PSL yet. Fernando Alonso says he's pretty much over F1, so this will be his last season, and he might just go, I don't know, he's race other things. And Bud Light, they have said that you can have the city of Cleveland, the moment the Browns win a match, they're an NFL team, the moment they win a match, there are these great fridges around Cleveland, and they'll open up and provide free Bud Light the moment these guys win a match.
That sounds good.
That is such a smart marketing
cool,
move.
Cool, huh? But they've won one match the last 2 years.
Oh, never mind then.
So we'll drunken the whole city if they win.
So everyone's putting the piss out about this campaign, but it's really, really funny though. Anyway, that's enough time for me. More sport tomorrow as we get closer to the weekend.
Well, it sounds great, Ben. Thank you for that. It's time for Sid by Sia. Let's see what he's got to tell us this morning. We forgot about Sid by Sia yesterday morning. I felt quite guilty about that.
Because you didn't get your dose of good news.
I know. And look at what happened. We had a boring day.
The next day, Gareth woke up feeling the best he's ever
Hey. Gord, don't go down that road. Don't. Okay.
Sia, don't pay any attention. That's not true, Sia. We love you.
Here's
right, go
some
on.
Good news. Look at this for some perseverance and patience. A man has been planting a tree every day since he was 16 years old.
Same tree?
No, planting different trees.
It's never going to take if he plants
He's
tree.
Been planting a tree every day. Thank you. And now, listen to this, 40 years later, he has grown a forest that is larger than New York City's Central Park. His name is Jadav Paying, and he's from India. And basically, he's now single-handedly responsible for more than 1,300 acres of forest on what was once a barren landscape devastated by erosion. Gord Laws?
He finds himself so amusing.
Every time.
He's imagining. I just want to explain to everybody. He's imagining planting a little tree and then digging it up and planting it again the next day. The same tree. Idiot. You're an idiot.
Moron. I'm sorry. What's sadder is how amusing he thinks he is as well. Like, you are your one-man support team. But anyway. Anyway. Jadav is a father of three, and he lives in India just on the bank of what is the world's largest river island, which is called Majuli. And as a teenager...
That was Ellie G's girlfriend, wasn't it?
We are not having this morning. We are not having this morning.
By the way, remember, I said we missed out on Sid by Sia yesterday. Look how much we missed out on.
On Majuli and Jadav. Guys.
So the second Annie G's girlfriend have been replanting the same tree for 16 years.
I'm going to keep on and say, I think it's cool and awesome that 40 years he was planting trees and now there's a forest. That is it for Sid by Sia.
I mean, it's so cool they made the advert about it.
Thank you. That's it.
Is that the same guy? Is it the same guy in that advert?
Must be.
Yeah, I've seen that ad.
He was on the bank of an Indian island. Yeah.
Well, they've made even a short documentary about him. It's called Forest Man.
I've got some interesting info on that whole idea of planting a tree and doing something, you know, good. Mm-hmm. You know, deforestation was a major thing for a very long time, and we were deforesting huge areas of the earth. Well, it turns out humanity has now got the balance more or less equal. We are now planting as many trees and there are new forests growing. No, seriously. Sorry. Everywhere. Afforestation is the future. So it turns out that the balance within the next 5 to 10 years, they say, will actually turn to afforestation. In other words, more areas of the world will be forests than
Surely
ever before.
Surely it's just forestation reforestation?
No. Well, forestation is just the forest.
They're where they are is, to begin right? with.
Yeah. Afforestation means an addition to the forest, an expansion of the forest, and deforestation means
a decrease. Yeah.
But are they doing this at the Amazon? Because that was the big problem, is that they were obviously planting cows.
That I can't tell you, but it was an interesting article I read just 3 days ago, and I thought, well, that's a good news story. In fact, you can follow, I think I even retweeted it, but don't quote me on that, I'll double check.
Can I just make sure that I'm getting it right? So more than the quantity that already was on Earth, they're exceeding that.
Yeah, for the last, since the Industrial Revolution, and then obviously at a much faster pace in the 20th century, we were deforesting huge parts of the world that used to be forests, that are the lungs of the Earth, that produce oxygen, and they take in carbon dioxide. Then, somewhere in the last couple of months, we've reached a point of balance, because we've been planting forests in certain parts of the world. We're now in an afforestation situation. So we're actually creating more forests than there were.
But it doesn't necessarily, I think, I mean, I would assume it doesn't necessarily mean we've reached those numbers. It just means we're on an increase as opposed to a decreasing trend.
Just like the trend for global warming is that we are warming the planet slowly, we are getting back to a situation where the forests are going to be at the levels they need to be at were at before we started destroying them.
An upward trend.
Sure. Yes, you did retweet it, by the way.
All right, we've got so many stories to get into. In a little while, we'll talk about this Mark Mini situation, which is fascinating. Sia told me a little bit about it yesterday. And so many other things. You can get hold of us. You can call us on 0861-555-189. And you can also WhatsApp us on 0797482090. If you prefer Telegram, because you don't like Mark Zuckerberg, the same number will work. 0797482090. CliffCentral.com.